And now I'd like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Bill M. from Escondido. You're welcome.
My name's Bill and I'm an alcoholic. Boy, I ain't seen this many white folks looking at me since since I wandered through a Ku Klux Klan meeting. You know, I'm so happy to be here tonight for all you. Thank you, Larry, for asking me to come. And welcome to the future old timers. Because there's some of you who are going to be around for a while, and there's some ain't going to be here. My sobriety date is August 26, 1973, and I've been here a while, and I hadn't planned to be here for a while. I was in the Navy, and I had 18 years in the Navy, and they were getting ready to kick me out because of my alcoholism. And I didn't think I was alcoholic, but the Navy did, and you know, when you're in the Navy and they think a sailor's got a drinking problem, you got a drinking problem. Because that's all we did. We lived for just to drink. And I started drinking when I was 17. The day I joined the Navy is the day I started drinking. Before that, I didn't drink because my family, very religious, and didn't drink, just regular folks. And so I didn't know what a normal drinker was like because my folks didn't do it. So when I got into the Navy, the guys I drank with were alcoholics. And they drank alcoholically. And I did too, you know. If they went somewhere and got a bottle of whiskey, they took the top off and threw it away. This is uncomfortable, but I can do it. So that's how I started drinking. And as soon as I took my first drink, I went, I like this. I'm going to see if I can't hold on to this. And that's what I did for the next 18 years was every time I had a chance. And I used to think that, okay, maybe I do have a drinking problem. But then when I go to sea for 30 or 40 days and I drink, I would think, see, I've been to sea a long time. And I didn't even want it. Until the day we pulled into port. Now, if you were late with Liberty, I was a maniac because I wanted to get off of there, you know. And anyway, when I was 21, I got married. I wanted to do something normal. Everybody in my family kept telling me, why don't you get married? I'd been around the world, so I thought, you know, at 21, I done been everywhere and did everything, and so I'm going to get married. I ain't never did that one. And like always, I picked a woman who was a psychotic, you know. Oh, I like psychotic women. And don't matter whether they're Japanese, Filipino, just, and you learn a lot from psychotic women. You learn how to sleep with one eye open. Anyway, this psychotic woman gave me 6 kids, you know. I know him. And I, you know, over the years, we just didn't get along. You know, between my alcoholism and her manic depressive, basically that's what it was. I didn't know at the time. And any time I mentioned, you know, maybe something wrong, she would split. So I just decided I wouldn't do that anymore. Like I said, 18 years in the Navy, they were getting ready to kick me out with an admin discharge, and I wanted to retire. I can put all that time in and shit. And so they told me I had to go into treatment. And it's a funny thing. Because when I went, I didn't think I had a problem. I was almost a year sober and still didn't believe I was alcoholic. But I knew if I took a drink, that would prove there was alcohol there. So what I did is, and I had a two-year plan. I wasn't going to drink for 2 years, and at the end of 2 years, I was going to let loose, because I'd be out of the Navy, and they'd give me a retirement for the rest of my life, and I could do what I had some real plans for retirement. I was going to get a job as a security guard and sit around the bar, my favorite bar, and talk about how screwed up the new Navy was. And the only thing is, I came to, they sent me this treatment, and I had convinced this counselor, because he was new, and I convinced him that I was an alcoholic, that they were really, it's a prejudice thing, so I should go on back. So he was getting ready to turn me loose, and I went out in the hallway with him to get a cup of coffee, and one of the guys from my last ship, he was coming down the hall because they caught him too. And he said, "Oh, it's about time they caught your ass." So that one sent me to treatment. And I wanted to kill him then. But in fact, he was at my house last weekend. We've been friends for 40 years, basically. We were, we drank together and all that kind of stuff. And we both got sober at the same time. He got well 11 years, and then he came back a year later. So, but if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. And then the next person who was the Eskimo in my life was my commanding officer who sent me there. I went, I knew I was going to get a court-martial, and when I got there, I hadn't seen him in months because I was in San Diego and he was in Long Beach. I went to Long Beach and I had a new uniform on and, I was, I'm ready. And he took one look at me and said, "You look like hell." And I said, "What do you mean? I got a new uniform and everything." He said, "No, I'm talking about you look like hell, not your uniform." And he said, "I know what's wrong with you." And I said, "What?" He says, "You're an alcoholic." And I said, "I'm not alcoholic. You drink more than I do." And he said, "No, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been sober for a year." I didn't know what Alcoholics Anonymous was, but I knew they had done something because he had changed 100%. And I thought, oh, hell. Have you ever looked at somebody and knew that you couldn't lie to them? I mean, the game's over with. That was it. So I went to this alcohol rehab, and I got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I thought it was, they took us to this meeting, a busload of us sailors, to this meeting, and they took us in a bus that had wire windows. So it reminded me of county jail. And I'm thinking, Jesus, where am I going? And the meeting was held at the Goodwill in Long Beach, and I thought, that's right. I've seen them before. They're going to give us some soup and going to say something by God. And if you act right, you can get more soup or something. And I walked in there, and there was a lot of people, and they were laughing and smiling, and they were dressed up. When I got sober, everybody came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and they put on their finest. And I thought, these must be social workers, and they assign somebody to each alcoholic like us when we walk in there. And they welcomed us and everything. And this little old lady, she's about as old as I am now. And she got me a cup of coffee, not even a whole cup of coffee, just a half cup of coffee. I didn't know I was that nervous, but she did. And And I thought, this is a nice lady. You know, I bet she sits home and makes apple pies and that kind of stuff. And then they called on her, and she said she was an alcoholic. And I'm thinking, that little nice lady can't be an alcoholic. And then she told her story. And I thought, dirty old lady? You know, we alcoholics can change our mind real quick. You know. And I thought, wow, this is nice, but I'm sorry I'm not an alcoholic. And then I saw, when they read the steps, and I saw them on the wall, and I went, oh, God. I ain't into God, and I ain't going to be into God. My parents were God-fearing people, and they kept me in line by telling me if everything I did, I was going to go to hell. So by the time I was 5, I was destined to go to hell, you know. And so I said, I don't want no parts of this. But I could see that something was working for some of these people. And I remembered my commanding officer, he had changed. He weighed about 260 pounds. A year later, he was slim and trim and smiling and laughing, and everybody in the office seemed to like him. And I'm going, change him. But I don't know if I want to change. You know, I didn't have nothing. Everything I had was gone. A woman with 6 kids said, get the hell out of here. You know, and I'm the only income. Got to be pretty bad when somebody puts you out and you're the only income. And I left, and I remember thinking, after all I'd done for them. In fact, when I went through the treatment, I called her and said, they're having family night. Would you come to family night? You know, I thought, you know how most alcoholics, when you first get sober, you want to maybe patch up your family stuff. And I told her, I've joined AA. And she said, I don't care if you join BB. Keep the hell away from me. And that's what I did. You know, that was my amends, stayed away. And so I went through the treatment, and while I was in treatment, a guy, you know, there's always one guy in a meeting or anything that just takes this thing. He runs up every time the podium is there, he's up, and everybody's calling on him. He's smiling. He found God in 2 days and all that kind of stuff. And it was this kid there, and everybody was just, you know, just praising him. And he graduated, and 3 days later, he came back drunk and a skunk. And I thought, well, if he can't get it and he loves this, I ain't got a chance. You know, I ain't going to make it. So I ain't going to try. What I'm going to try to do is get out of this treatment early. That's what I'm going to do. So I made up me a court slip because I seen some people court slips, and I was going to fill up this court slip going to meetings and then present it to the commanding officer and say, see, I've been going to meetings, I got it, can I go home early? And what I did, I went to the wrong meeting. And by the wrong meeting means there was a group of people that I just absolutely fell in love with right away. They were nutty in the fruitcake. They all went to the same meeting at the same time. The name of the meeting was MFSG. MF is what you think it stands for. And SG stands for spiritual group. We're in the meeting and somebody that just started, it was 45 of them, somebody said, what are we going to name this MF? And somebody said spiritual group. And they hooked it up. And I'm here to tell you that out of the 45 people, I think 5 are dead, but the other 40 are still sober. Long time. Because they beat you up with the steps. Every time you went into the meeting, they said, what step are you on? None of your business. Every guy to sponsor him. I got enough white people telling me what to do. Get away. Stay away. And they didn't stay away. You know, it's a funny thing. You stand there, I wore dark glasses for about the first 6 months I was sober, night and day. And I put my best militant look on you, like, stay the hell away from me. Especially you men who like to hug men. I ain't into hugging men, so stay away. And they come and hug me anyway. And I remember when I got my 90-day chip. That was the proudest day of my life. I've been in the Navy, you know, 18 years, and I've been in some wars. I've been in all kinds of scary places. And I got medals and ribbons and things for things I didn't want to do. But that 90-day token, that was the proudest thing I did. In fact, I took it and had my sobriety date engraved on it. And I kept that for 17 years. And I was at a meeting, and a newcomer who's got 90 days, and the secretary didn't have a token. And he was real disappointed. So I gave him my token, told him to bring it back tomorrow, and we'll have one for him. And if anybody's seen this guy, would you let me know? I got a sponsor, and he was the smoothest guy I've seen in AA. He walked into the meeting, and everybody seemed to get excited when they seen him, and his wife looked at him with love, and it wasn't payday, you know. And his kids were looking at him like he was Batman and Superman all wrapped up in a woman. See, that's what I wanted. I wanted to get some respect back. See, I got here and I was saying, help me, but don't tell me what to do. See, and when you get to the place where you're saying, look, I need help, and I don't care who you are, what you look like, or where you're from, please help me and tell me what to do, because my life is all screwed up. I don't know if I'm an alcoholic or not, but you guys seem to have an answer. And I'm going to follow it. So I asked the guy to be a sponsor. He said, no. I said, why not? He said, because you look like you want to debate. And I ain't got time to debate. If you do what I tell you to do, then we can work. In my head, I'm thinking, who do you think he is? Tell me. He don't know. I really don't want a sponsor. I'm just doing this to keep people off my ass. So I said, I'll do what you tell me. And he took a schedule. At the time, the schedules were just an 8 by 10 piece of paper folded up three ways and like 300 meetings. And he said, these are the meetings that I go to. I'll see you there. I said, wait a minute, let's back up a little bit. Now, I just saw Bob ask this guy to be a sponsor, and he told him, oh, great, I'll pick you up, and we'll go to Denny's, and we'll... So you didn't offer that, you know. He said, have you ever got a drink or a drug after everything had closed? Or I said, yeah. He said, then you'll find your way to these meetings. I said, I don't have a car. He said, they have buses. You're healthy. You can walk. And I thought, damn, I asked the wrong person again. But I'll go. I'll go along with it for a while because I'm just here temporary anyway. You know. And we had a pretty good relationship going there. I joined this group, and everybody would say, what step you on? And so you had to work a step to get them off your ass. And then they said, you can't get in a relationship until you have done the fifth step or a year, whichever comes first. So naturally, everybody run around trying to do the fifth step. You talking about some people can do some creative writing real quick. So I was at the meeting, and I, you know, like most AA meetings, as you're saying the Lord's Prayer, you're looking across the room lustfully, seeing who you can hook up with, you know. And I saw her, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's her. She looked at me, I looked at her, and I'm going over there to talk to her after the meeting. Hurry up and finish the Lord's Prayer. I started across the room, and my sponsor kind of got in front of me. Said, where are you going? I said, going over and talk to this young lady. He said, I don't think you should. I said, excuse me? I think there's something in page 69 so you shouldn't interfere with people's sex. I mean, he said, I thought we wasn't going to debate. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He said, she's here every day, every week. Why don't you wait till tomorrow? And when she goes up to share, close your eyes and listen to see what she says. And I said, I can do that, I guess. Next day I got married, she spoke. I didn't look at her, I closed my eyes, and I thought, she's got a bad day today. She's probably going to be better off tomorrow. So the next day, same thing happened. I went, oh, I'm going to have to pass on this because I don't want to pass. And then I looked over there, and some other guy went over there, and they were walked off into the happy land of AA. And I was heartbroken. I was pissed at my sponsor. That was a sure thing, and he made me miss it. Two weeks later, I heard she shot him with a shotgun. I called my sponsor, and I said, thank you very much, sir. From this day on, anything you tell me to do, I will do it. 36 years later, he is still my sponsor. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I have 6 adult children, 24 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild. They have birthdays every other day. Are they graduating? Are they christening? Or something's happening every day? We have a calendar at my home. My wife is in charge of making sure that we send a card or some money, blah, blah, blah. So see, AA has provided me with the ability to be able to be a grandfather. I wasn't a father in the first 14, 15 years of my children's life. And then I got divorced, and I had to give just about all my money for child support and so forth. And I went to court after 2 years and decided that I need a little bit of money to live on. I just couldn't do it. And I walked out of court with 4 boys. I got custody of 4 boys. And I was still on active duty and on a ship. I had 7 months to go before I retired. And I prayed before I went in there. I said, please, God, I don't want this to be a selfish act. You know, I want to be a good parent, but I had no idea when I walked in there that I was going to come out with four boys. Four hungry boys. And I had, all of them played football when they went into high school and so forth. And whenever I'd go home, I'd open the refrigerator and I just filled them up. I filled it up yesterday. I'll try not to cuss, folks. But see, when I think about back those things, that emotion comes the same. So I don't mean to offend anyone, so don't be offended. But I got them back. When I go to their homes today, you know, and when they first get married and their wives, and I go to the house and I'll open the refrigerator, leave it open, turn on the lights and walk on out, you know. And their wives say, "What's wrong with your dad?" "He's just paying us back." And I became a single dad for 13 years, first 13 years. And when the last one left, he left at 18. And I bought him the best Samsonite luggage you can buy. I immediately went and got rid of all the breakaway furniture. Got new furniture, new apartment. Oh, I was going to finally be a single person. But A has some things going on. I've been very active all these years. And in 1999, I was short of breath and I went into Balboa Hospital and told them I'm having a little problem. They put me on a treadmill and I was on there about, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes. I was doing great. They took me off and immediately had to have a 3-way bypass surgery, so I'm stuck there. And then when I came out, they wanted to give me a lot of pills, and I told them, no, I can't do that. You know, I've been through that drug route way before I went into Alcoholics Anonymous, so I refused to let them drug me up. And I had, from that day on, I've been having a lot of physical problems. I had diabetes as a result of Agent Orange. And the type I have that if I bump something, by the next day it's gangrene. And I went to Naval Hospital to have a toe amputated. Doctor gave me an epidural. And I haven't walked since. And I cried all the way to the bank. I got a lawyer that I couldn't stand, but he was good. You know. So I was able to get the home that I never had before. I promised my wife I was going to take her to Hawaii. And I haven't been able to do that, but I've sent her to Malaysia 2 or 3 times to visit her son. I have a home that is just out of sight. See, a lot of times God will give you a gift and it's wrapped in ugly paper. Ugly paper. And you're so pissed off about the paper that you don't open to see what the gift's inside. See, the gift's inside now that I can do anything I want to for my grandchildren, for my children. I told all my grandchildren, when you go, the first semester you go to college, I will buy your books. And I done it. I cried a lot, but I did it. I had 5 of them this year. And ain't nothing under 500. I'm getting on the computer and buying the books next goddamn time. There must be a Craig something somewhere. See, a lot of times things happen, and you think it's bad, and it really isn't. You see, I worked the steps because first I wanted to do it to get people off my back. Then my sponsor explained to me that I was always talking about I hadn't been free, that because of the color of my skin and where I was raised and the state that I was in, it was really very racist. And I couldn't go to the school I wanted to go to, or I couldn't live where I wanted to live because of the color of my skin. It looked like every time I started something, somebody would say, no, that's as far as you can go. And my sponsor told me, nobody can stop you from doing the steps but you. And I wanted to feel what it felt like to finish something without somebody interfering. And I knew that I was the only one that could stop me from doing the steps. I didn't know if they were going to work for me. I didn't know. I'd seen them work for other folks, but I didn't think it was going to work for me. But I did them. And the things that have come in my life, you wouldn't believe. I mean, I have been so successful in so many things. Since I retired from the Navy, I done had 3 careers. Been able to retire and get pensions from them. Life is good. You know, I didn't talk too much about my drinking, but I'm telling you, I drank. I used to do some stupid stuff because I was a blackout drinker. There used to be a string of Western bars in National City. Some of you old enough to remember. There was one called the Westerner. And it was the headquarters of the local Ku Klux Klan and everything else in that area. And I came out of a blackout sitting in the middle of the Westerner with a blonde sitting on my lap and a cowboy hat on. Now, believe me, I do not believe in God at that time. But you know who I called on, don't you? Get me out of this, and I swear I'll never do this again. And I'm looking there, and these guys are looking at me like I got my sheet in the truck. You will never get out of here alive. And I'm thinking, Jesus, please, what did I do? Why do I keep doing these things? I didn't intend to end up at the Westerner. I didn't even intend to be in National City. Somewhere a fight broke out in there, and MPs, SPs, and the police came in. And when they left, I left right with them. I slid on out of there. And I said, thank you, God, but I can do it from now on, you know. My sponsor told me, you're going to have to believe in something. I said, I can't. I just can't. I said, I ain't even surrendered to this stuff yet. He said, you must have surrendered to something. And I said, not that I can think about it. He said, well, think about it. Then I remembered I was in Japan, and there was a little girl that I was in love with. Her name was Emiko. Emiko worked in a bar, but I was still in love, you know. Well, maybe lust, but. And I was drinking Akadama wine and Jaime's gin. And you put those together, and it's called active food. And I got the idea, She said, well, I got to go to work. We have a nice little lighthouse keeping going on. She said, I got to go to work. I said, no, I don't want you to go to work tonight. She said, I'm going. She left. I'm sitting there drinking, and I get this good idea. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when I drink, I get good ideas. And I went to the bar, and I said, let's go. And she said, I can't. You know, go away. You know, everything's okay. And I decided, I'm going to hit her and knock her out and carry her home. Now, I boxed in the Navy, so I know how to fight and all that kind of stuff. I like to fight Marines. If this ain't in the room, I'm sorry. And I hit her. And that little old girl turned into Bruce Lee on my ass. I woke up in the dispensary. And my left arm was fractured. I had a headache. My testicles were somewhere around my shoulders. Right then and there, I admitted to my innermost self that Emma Cole is the baddest lady I ever met. And if she would come through that door right now, I would wheel my ass on out the other door. And that's what I do with alcohol. I don't mess with it. Just like a rattlesnake, it'd be over in the corner and ain't bothering nobody. And as long as I don't go over there and fool with it, I ain't going to worry about getting bitten or dying. Same thing with alcohol. I don't fool with it. In fact, my sister visited us once, and she had a wine cooler in the refrigerator. And every time I passed my refrigerator, I was aware that there was a wine cooler in it. And there was orange juice, there was milk, all that other stuff. I wouldn't walk by and say, oh, there's some milk in there. I'm a real alcoholic, and I know it. And if any of you in here that don't know if you're an alcoholic, so what? If you can get your life together without taking a drink, don't you think that's kind of wonderful? I listened to people's stories, and I thought, well, maybe I ain't bad enough. You know? I never spent any time in any penitentiary. Been a lot of little jails all over the world, but that didn't count. You know, 4 or 5 days here, and, you know. I remember I saved a lot of money. Went to my ship I was on, we went to Mazatlan, Mexico, and I was going to go. My dream was to catch a sailfish or marlin. What I caught was jail. All behind alcohol. All behind alcohol. Then I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, my life changes 100%. That lady who was my ex-wife, who I really, every time I thought about her, I would think something bad. And I learned how to forgive. And I wish anything. She died at 48 from cancer. I wish she could have seen what our kids turned out. Sometimes I'll sit there and look at the kids and I thought, wow. It all started with me saying, hey, baby, what's your name? 6 kids, 24. And I got a little great-granddaughter. She is so mean. Does not like me. She's almost 2 and I've never touched her. I get within 5 feet of her and her grandmother has come reincarnated back to her. She'll go to everybody with me. She look at me like, you better stay away from me. See, I know that that'll be the one that'll give everybody trouble and she'll end up living with me. So I ain't in no hurry to make friends. But I know in the end I'll get them. So many of you guys in here who are... I told my wife, please let me know when I get to run off at the mouth. And she just... I looked at my watch and I saw I'm going too long. But it's been a pleasure to be here. And I didn't say anything about the most wonderful person in the life. And that's my wife. She stood by me when nobody else did. You know. I tried my best to spoil her because I didn't spoil my first wife. And when I say spoil, I mean spoil. I ain't no half-stepping. You know. All you guys who are new, give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. For once, don't be so hard on yourself. Listen to somebody for a little while. If you give somebody 90 days of your undivided attention, you might not have to go to jail again. You might not lose a mate again. Or you might not go back to the one you shouldn't have gone back to. Yeah, because I was going to do that. Anyway, thank you very much for having me here tonight. I'd like to say one thing before I leave. I know I'll never have the money of Rockefeller, nor will I have the prestige of a king. But I can say with absolute dignity that I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous.